Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Her niceness is not motivated by love. So when she is doing many of those kind things for people, she's not doing them because that's what God would have her to do. She's doing that because she wants people to like her.
I love you. I've loved you since I met you.
She doesn't want them to get angry at her.
Oh, well, that's okay.
She doesn't want them to disapprove of her.
That's the loveliest thing I've ever heard.
What is in common with all of that? It's all about her.
And welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, Jim's co-host, broadcasting from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Quality Christian education since 1899. Lots of online degree opportunities available for you as well. Go to homeward.com. You can hit the APU button and find out more about all that. Today, you're going to hear part two of my conversation with Dr. Jennifer Degler, who is the co-author of a new book called No More Christian Nice Girl. And if you find yourself or know somebody who is a nice girl instead of a good girl, Jennifer's going to tell you why there is a difference and what the dangers are in actually being a Christian nice girl. So now, here's part two of that conversation here on Homeward. Welcome to Homeward. Roger Marsh in the host chair, filling in for Jim Burns today, joined once again in studio by Jennifer Degler. Jennifer, it's good to have you here in the studio with us.
Thank you. We're actually on location.
We're on the convention floor just outside the main convention area here at the International Christian Retail Show in St. Louis, and enjoying some fellowship together, talking about the dangers of being a Christian nice girl and hearing all the people in the background buying foot-long corn dogs and all the other things that they sell at these events. Jennifer is the founder of Creating Christian Change, which is a life coaching enterprise that works with clients across the country to help them create lives they love. And I read that off your website, but I thought it was worth repeating. Also the co-author of the book No More Christian Nice Girl, written with Paul Coughlin. And she's a licensed psychologist and a life coach and makes her home in Lexington. Has a husband, Jeff, who's a great guy because he's glad to not be married to a Christian nice girl anymore.
Oh, he is an awesome man. He's my high school sweetheart.
Is he really?
Yes.
Now, that's something, talk about that for a moment, because you don't hear that every day. I mean, I love hearing the, we met in ninth grade and you and that type of stuff.
I never remember not knowing him.
Really?
We grew up at the same church.
Uh-huh.
He was a terrible child.
Yes.
Just horrible. I was frightened of him.
Uh-huh.
In children's church, he and his brother Kevin, who are a year apart,
uh-huh,
to the day, every Sunday would break out into a fight in the back of children's church. And then one day I looked up when I was 15 and he had grown into the most amazing man. So I chased him till he caught me.
I love that. That's spoken like a true reformed Christian nice girl.
Yes. That's just a Southern woman.
Just enough confidence, but we like that story. That's a beautiful one. You say that nice wrecks relationships, which I think I'm going to have tattooed on my arm. I think that's where people can see it. Talk about how the Christian nice girl will ultimately wind up sabotaging friendships, family ties, and just not helping at all.
Well, she is, this is the really hard part, Roger, because this is when we're really looking at our hearts.
Okay.
Okay, her niceness is not motivated by love. So when she is doing many of those kind things for people, she's not doing them because that's what God would have her to do.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing that because she wants people to like her. She doesn't want them to get angry at her. She doesn't want them to disapprove of her. What is in common with all of that? It's all about her.
Mm.
So instead of it coming out of love for the other person,
yeah.
It's about what is in my best interest is to make you like me,
mm-hmm,
and to keep you from getting angry at me. And it becomes all about me.
And that's probably a big revelation, I would imagine. You're counseling a woman right now, for example, and she's going through all this and she thinks, gosh, you know, I'm having such a hard time in my relationships because he isn't doing this and she isn't doing this and da da da. And you draw the circle around and say, whoa. You notice what the constant is in all those relationships?
Oh, because they're angry. They're saying, I am killing myself for these people. And nobody appreciates and nobody's reciprocating
right. Like
I am.
Mm-hmm.
And they should. They should be killing themselves for me.
Right.
And then we kind of unpack that and say, okay, what's your motivation
behind
what you're doing for these people? Because if fear, and that's what's motivating it. It's fear of conflict, fear of confrontation, fear of rejection. That is not of God. And so if you're fear motivated, then ultimately those relationships are not going to be satisfying, because you're going to be killing yourself for them, expecting they're going to jump through a hoop at some point for you, and then they don't, and then you're mad at them, but you can't express that directly because nice girls don't get mad, and then so you're just kind of real snippy with them and real uptight, and they can't figure out what's wrong with you, and it just turns into a big mess.
I'm going to sound like a guy at this point and ask you, is this really a problem and becoming more of a problem that you see with mothers and daughters?
It is. It is. And we are seeing bless our hearts, especially in middle school.
Yeah.
You know, girls that go through the cattiness and trying to navigate those waters and wanting to be a young woman who does speak the truth in love. And I know, as a mother of a teenage daughter myself, helping her navigate that. And if you can't, then oftentimes you and your daughter actually end up getting into these kind of troubles. And I'm mad at mom, but I can't tell mom because it would hurt mom's feelings. And, you know, mom wants daughter to like her and doesn't want daughter to get mad at her. So mom isn't the disciplinarian that she needs to be. And it can really impact your parenting.
I still deal with this with my parents. And I know that it happens in the other side of the family too. If the kids aren't getting along, mom kind of runs in and says, wait a minute, and tries to play nice guy to try to make sure that everything's okay with everyone because they're all getting what they want. Instead of saying, look, I'm 50 years old. I don't need my mom to do this anymore. My brother's 45. We really don't need this.
And but, why is she doing that?
Yeah, why is she doing that?
Because she's uncomfortable with conflict. Mm. Well, I don't see that Jesus was particularly uncomfortable with conflict.
Right, right.
Sometimes you need to just step back and let people work it out themselves. If it's not a safety issue, you know, if they're not pulling out bats and swinging at one another, you know, let them have some practice on their own working things out.
We have friends in our world who the marriage is coming apart, and the kids have been spending a lot of time with our kids because, you know, they're looking for a place. And one of the girls was sharing with one of my daughters the fact that she did not realize how verbally abusive her mom had been until the marriage kind of imploded and everyone's kind of going back and reevaluating. She said, because my dad just kind of, oh, well, you know, that's just your mom and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and didn't realize, and a lot of it happened when he wasn't at home. But she said, you know, I almost feel like I need to go talk to a therapist. And I'm like, yes.
You probably do.
Do that, because, I mean, those are the kind of bruises, you know, that happen under the skin that you don't think about. But if you're an underreactor, then, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, you just go, oh, it's just words. Like you just said, everything you were just saying, mom has a temper problem, you know.
And Roger, long term, what will happen then is then when you find yourself in a relationship with like you're talking about this young woman here, maybe she gets in a relationship with a guy and he is displaying some of those same dangerous characteristics.
Right.
And she underreacts to it because that's what she's seen in her house.
Yeah.
So certainly teaching women, you need to reconnect with that part of you that knows what the truth is.
Yes.
That this is dangerous, this is wrong, and I need to speak to that.
I'm going to take you to a part in the book that made me smile, because I have kind of Martha tendencies, and I know my daughters do too. What kind of response do you get when women read this quote in No More Christian Nice Girl? It's on page 81 if you're following along with us at home. For the record, Mary of Bethany's refusal to get up and help her sister Martha was courageous. If Mary had been a people-pleasing Christian nice girl, she would have jumped up the first time Martha shot her a dirty look for sitting there. What kind of response do you get from women?
You know, it's fun to see that even Mary, and we tend to have this picture that Mary was this meek and mild one sitting at the feet of Jesus kind of girl. But for all the women out there who have sisters, listen, that's a complicated relationship.
I'll bet.
I have an older sister. She's actually here at ICRS with me. And, you know, you want to please your sister.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling Martha was the older sister.
Mm-hmm. That always
she has that,
way that too.
Firstborn
exactly.
Kind of
exactly.
Authoritarian feel to her.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, usually you jump right up when you're the secondborn. You do whatever it is that your older sibling wants you to do.
Right.
But Mary of Bethany ignored that because she did what was God's will in the situation. And that's what God's good women do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always follow the rules. And, of course, the nice girl rules say, all right, if there is anything, any help that needs to be done, you better jump up and help. Because a nice girl is always helpful and always compliant.
Yeah.
And Mary didn't. She just sat there. I love it.
Yeah.
I bet her sister was giving her the evil eye.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
You know, maybe snapping her fingers at her.
Sure.
Whispering,
sure.
Mary, get over here.
And to be fair to Martha, it's not that Martha was doing the wrong thing. It's just that in that position, Mary made a good choice and was courageous enough to say, I made a good choice. I'm sticking with it.
Right.
I love you, but I'm staying here.
Right. And your choice may be right for you, but it's not right for me.
Exactly. Exactly. So you shouldn't try to make me feel that way, and I won't try to make you feel this way.
Right.
And we can agree to disagree, and that's healthy.
Yes.
Let's get together and still be sisters. Okay. We like that. Not you and me, but the two of them. When you accept delivery on truckloads of disrespectful treatment, you are teaching immature people that they can continue to misuse you. You wrote that, or Paul wrote that.
Yes.
One of you two did.
We probably wrote it together.
We probably wrote it together. It sounds like a combination statement. Unpack that for us.
You teach people how to treat you. And if you look around...
Say that again.
You teach people how to treat you.
I know there are a lot of our listeners that needed to hear that.
Okay.
So thank you for repeating it. Go on.
I'll be happy to repeat that.
over and over again.
And people do not want to see that. They want to look at people that are treating them badly and say... They need to change. They need to change. Oh, no, no, no. You need to change.
Yeah.
And you need to be the one that says, I will no longer allow myself to be yelled at. I will no longer allow myself to take phone calls at 11 o'clock at night from people that could call me at 10 o'clock in the morning just as easily.
Right.
And so it's about you setting boundaries, because people are going to accept whatever you will give them.
We have caller ID now. You know, we have all sorts of ways to communicate with people. I mean, there are so many ways to set boundaries that are socially acceptable.
But you know, Roger, for women, guilt is such a huge issue. When that phone rings and we see the caller ID.
It's mom. I've got to take that
call. It's
mom.
There might be a problem. And, oh, she's going to be at home. And so that guilt, which is actually a false guilt.
Right.
That ends up controlling us. So a big part of this process is recognizing when false guilt is controlling you and facing your fear, and you don't pick up the phone at 11 o'clock at night.
And that is a sentiment that bears repeating, does it not? Got to have some healthy boundaries. And that's great wisdom from Dr. Jennifer Degler here on the Homeward Broadcast. You heard the ambiance in the background. That was a conversation that I had the privilege of recording with Dr. Degler a little while ago at the International Christian Retail Show in St. Louis. We were actually on the convention floor, so you get a lot of sound effects. People were walking by and very, very interested in what Jennifer had to say. This is part two of a two-part conversation that we recorded at the convention there, talking about her brand new book called No More Christian Nice Girl. And this is a book that she co-authored with Paul Coughlin. You enjoyed his book, No More Christian Nice Guy, and these are resources that we're featuring this week here on the Homeward Broadcast. For more information on that and anything else that we talk about here on the program, we encourage you to check out our online resource center at homeward.com. We are streaming audio. You might be listening to our audio stream right now. There's no charge for that. You might be podcasting with us. You can get that podcast subscription going through iTunes when you go to homeward.com, hit the podcast button, and then follow the prompts, and you can set up your free podcast subscription so you won't miss a minute of every Homeward broadcast and podcast that we make available. More to come. Do stay with us. You're on Homeward.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
What the? Tina, Heather...
Yo, Dad.
What up, dog?
What are you listening to?
Just kicking it with some fly tunage.
Girls, could you turn this racket down?
Why are y'all up in my face, man? Just chill.
Chill? Heather, turn that noise off now.
Okay, Dad.
And Tina, that's enough with the attitude. I don't know where it's coming from, but it doesn't fly in this house. Got it?
Parents, if you want to know what your kids really think and feel, well, take a look at the friends they spend the most time with. They live out their lives with what's called friendship clusters. It's two or three best and most influential buddies. And when it comes to issues like drug and alcohol abuse, know this. In a recent survey, nearly 80% of kids who said that a lot of their friends were drug-oriented had also used drugs themselves. You can learn more about this connection when you read my tip sheet called Friends and Self-Esteem. Download a free copy when you go to homeward.com.
You're listening to Homeward. I'm Roger Martian for Jim Burns. We're talking with Jennifer Degler today about her new book, No More Christian Nice Girl, co-authored with Paul Coughlin. And we've been talking about Christian Nice Girls, and this has been a very hopeful show. I know I don't want anyone to feel like we're being too hard on the Christian Nice Girl. But there is a goal here, and the goal is something that you call moving from a Christian nice girl to God's good woman. And we talked about some of those transitional steps early on in the broadcast. I do need to ask you about one thing, though. There's a Christian nice girl right now who is thinking about dating, and you have a part in the book where you talk about, hey, it's a date. It's not a requirement. I can imagine that a lot of Christian nice girls really get beat up emotionally in the dating world.
They do. And it would seem like, Roger, that if she is this sweet, perpetually compliant, pleasant all the time woman, that she's going to attract this really nice guy.
Of course.
But far too often, Christian nice girls, they attract Mr. Wrong.
Sure.
Because it's like blood in the water for a shark. Mm-hmm. He can smell that they are not going to stand up for themselves.
Right.
They're not going to hold boundaries. And so a big part of this process is getting them to develop that emotional strength and have those boundaries so that Mr. Wrong moves on, you know, to find another victim.
Another victim, absolutely.
Another victim.
Well, then there's sometimes Christian nice girls beyond the dating thing, and you have a section in the book that talks about how nice messes up matrimony. And I know we've talked about that kind of woven throughout the conversation, but what can a Christian nice girl do when she realizes, oh my goodness, I'm a Christian nice girl, and maybe I'm married to a guy now who married a Christian nice girl, and he's not going to be all that happy potentially with the fact that I'm going to become God's good woman now instead of being Christian nice girl. What?
And that pushback is oftentimes what you will experience on that journey.
Yeah.
From a nice girl to God's good woman. You know, if people have been used to taking advantage of you,
sure.
They like that.
Oh, yeah, they're used to it.
They're used to it, and they're getting what they want. And Oftentimes you're doing things that they need to be doing themselves.
Yeah.
So you need to be prepared for that pushback. And you just are firm but loving, forceful. I mean, you just gracious firmness, and you hold the line. That's really important that they do that. And with their husbands, you know, over time, he's going to see, oh, wow, she's not as angry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have a chip on her shoulder like she used to have. And she's more authentic.
Yeah.
And she's not snapping at the kids like she used to, because mm-hmm. she's keeping those shorter accounts. When she gets angry about something, she's dealing with it directly.
Yeah.
She's willing to risk some confrontation right at the first mm-hmm. instead of putting it off and putting it off and putting it off until she just explodes.
There may be a little bit of tension as mm-hmm. she's making the transition, but they start seeing the residual benefits are much better.
Oh, I tell women, look, it's going to get worse before it gets better mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. a lot of people. But if you married somebody who, at his heart, he's a good guy, then over time, he's going to like these changes, because he's going to sense that conflict is the price you pay for intimacy. And on the other side of this are authentic, intimate relationships.
I like that. You have 5 reminders for making that journey from Christian nice girl to God's good woman. I want to walk through them just briefly here, and I don't expect you to have them memorized.
Whew, you're making me nervous when you said that.
I'll tell you what they are.
You
respond to them. The first 2, know where you're headed and pack only what you need.
Yes. You want to pack, I always say, a sense of humor. That's really important to mm-hmm. have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And know that your goal is that 360-degree Jesus, that it's the Jesus who, yes, had times when he was kind and gentle and compassionate, but he was also a truth speaker and could be firm and could be forceful. And what didn't run from a necessary confrontation, that's where you're headed. And a lot of people, unfortunately, the more spiritually immature, they'll try and steer you back to nice girlville.
Another one is choose your travel companions wisely.
Yes, we talk about who rides shotgun. I don't know if your children did this one. My children still do this, even though they'll say, shotgun. They'll call shotgun.
Mine do shoddy.
Okay, shoddy. And they want to be right there. Well, that's the person who usually is your navigator.
Mm.
So you want to have somebody in your passenger seat
mm-hmm.
who wants you to become God's good woman.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have somebody.
And you're talking about girlfriends.
I'm talking about girlfriends. I'm talking about family members, the people that you're going to draw in closest to your heart. Because let's face it, we're all going to have people in our life who are spiritually immature.
Yeah, and at some point, everyone's going to ride shotgun.
Right.
In your heart.
Right. So you've got to decide, who do you pull in close for the longest period of time? And who do you listen to for guidance and navigational advice? Because you've got some people who'll say, well, you know, honey, that's just how it is when you're married. They just yell at you sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is, honey. And, you know, that's somebody who's steering you back to mm-hmm. being a Christian nice girl and to not having that truly authentic marriage that you need to have.
Good point. And I think about the next reminder as kind of tying in with that one. Don't turn back just because the road gets difficult.
And it will. And most women will experience some periods of loneliness, particularly if right now, if you look around and most of your friends are spiritually immature, they're very needy people
yeah.
who drain you a lot.
Right, right.
If that is your pool, as you begin to grow into God's good woman, you're going to kind of outgrow some of those people, but you haven't quite caught up to people that are ahead of you. And as a result, you can have some lonely times. It's like being on the highway and you're with the pack and it's at night and there's headlights in front of you and behind you. And then you kind of pull ahead of that pack of people. And you may reach a spot on the road where you can't see anybody ahead of you and you can't see anybody behind you. It can be lonely.
Yes.
But keep your foot on the courage accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, you're going to catch up to people that are emotionally healthy, spiritually more mature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be just a much more satisfying place to be. But keep your foot on the courage pedal.
Yeah, I like that. I was thinking about, just as you mentioned that, the path and where we're going and, you know, staying on course, not turning back. On the way in here, I've never flown to St. Louis before where we are. We were coming in from Phoenix, and on the flight in from Phoenix, we ran into some turbulence. And the pilot said, well, we got some choppy winds here, and we're going to try to jump up to a different altitude, and we're going to alter the course slightly so we can still arrive in St. Louis on time. And I was thinking, okay, well, what would happen if he just said, boy, we're going to get stuck in this turbulence, and oh no, we're going to turn back. And I know your plans were to land in St. Louis, but at the exact same time, we're going to land back in Phoenix. Well, that's not what we signed
right.
on for, is it? But
right.
I think about if you're trying to make that transition from Christian nice girl to God's good woman, then you have to know that there's an end game here, and you've got to keep working toward that.
Exactly. And that you will probably have people who push back. They don't like the new you. They
yeah.
liked you better when you were easier to control and
sure.
manipulate.
Sure. Well, they didn't really like you. They just liked it better.
Exactly.
The situation
exactly.
better. They didn't really care about you. Final reminder is check for blue lights before you pull over for the police.
Oh, this is fun. This is so fun part of the book. There are people in the world who think that they are the self-appointed deputies of everything that is right and wrong in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to pull you over and rebuke you. Now, sometimes we all need rebukes.
Amen.
And when we are receivers of the truth spoken in love, it can sting.
Yes.
But then there are a lot of people that they're self-appointed deputies. So we say, check for the blue lights. Make sure they're legitimately. They've really been sent by God. They're really speaking a word of truth to you.
Yeah.
And they're not just trying to drag you down, make you feel bad, and condemn you.
Yeah.
Because that's one of, you know, when Satan wants to just paralyze you, it feels condemning.
Sure.
But when God rebukes you, it actually is motivating.
Yeah, wow.
Instead of paralyzing.
Yeah, it motivates you to repentance, which means I need to turn away from what I was doing and start moving in a different direction. And no one likes to get that gift of exhortation person who comes in and says, I need to tell you that you're doing the wrong thing because I feel lousy about myself and I'll feel better if I tell you what a horrible person you are.
There you go.
And how often does that happen?
Just don't need that.
Yeah. Hear that siren. Make sure it's for you.
Yes.
Amen. Take the final moments of our time together because we're wrapping things up here. Respond to the following quote from your book. And it goes something like this. You will not experience the abundant life that Jesus promises until you courageously speak the truth in love in all of your relationships and all of your situations. It is a non-negotiable part of being Christ-like.
If you're going to conquer a fear, you have to face it. If you are afraid of the water, at some point, you have to get wet. And so you have to, at some point, face that confrontation. You have to say those words you've been putting off saying. You have to have that conversation that you just makes your stomach churn. That is not just something that you have to do because it's bugging you and you need to get it off your list.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You need to do that because that's part of becoming Christ-like. And if you really want the abundant life, if you want Christianity to feel practical, like it really works
mm-hmm.
and it makes your relationships better, then you have to live it out accurately.
Amen. Amen. Well, Jennifer, it's been a pleasure getting to know you here in the studio, and thanks for being with us. Thanks for the book, too.
And you're welcome.
It's going to help a lot of people, and of course, we wholeheartedly recommend it here at Homeward. Again, No More Christian Nice Girl, When Just Being Nice Instead of Good Hurts You, Your Family, and Your Friends by Paul Coughlin and Jennifer Degler. And Jennifer, thanks so much for being with us
Thank
today.
You.
What a delightful conversation with Dr. Jennifer Degler. It was a pleasure to meet her at the International Christian Retail Show this past summer in St. Louis, Missouri, and a pleasure to present this program to you here on Homeward. And my thanks to Dr. Jim Burns for letting me take over the interviewer's chair for the past couple of programs. You know, Homeward is here to provide you with resources like this. We highly recommend Jennifer Degler's book, co-authored with Paul Coughlin, called No More Christian Nice Girl. Paul has written a great book on the topic called No More Christian Nice Guy, and you can learn more about those on our website at homeward.com. Christianreaders.com. They're available at your favorite Christian bookstore as well. And also, if you'd like the audio CD of both days' editions of the programs, you can drop us a line at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Include a gift of any amount in support of our ministry, and we would appreciate your tax-deductible donation of $25 or $50, even $100 or more today. Check us out online at Homeward.com, too. You'll find lots of free materials there. You see what your tax-deductible donations are going to support, like the Good Advice Parent Newsletter, our daily online devotional, and more. All available to you at Homeward.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.